There are now less than 6 months to go to the 2012 International Eucharistic Congress in Dublin, Ireland. It will also be the 50th such international gathering since they first began. Over the years, the global movement of Catholics that once characterised the Eucharistic Congresses has notably shifted towards the World Youth Days. But organisers are hoping to galvanise some of the World Youth Day enthusiasm to help make the June appointment in Dublin an unforgettable event for all attending, and in particular for Ireland.
I invite you all to join me in praying for the success of the next International Eucharistic Congress, which will take place in 2012 in the city of Dublin.
Welcome to Dublin. Our vibrant, busy and multicultural capital city will play host to the 50th International Eucharistic Congress.
Well, it's an important event for the Church in Ireland, important event for the Church around the world. If you look at the Acts of the Apostles when they describe the early Christian community, they always begin to say they gathered. And out of that sense of gathering came a particular lifestyle, which is a lifestyle of communion, of sharing.
We are inviting you to join us and thousands of others for this exciting event in June 2012.
They are hoping that Catholics worldwide will answer Ireland's call and come to the island nation, renowned for its welcome, to celebrate the faith in communion with Christ and with one another.
It's very important for the Church in Ireland that this Eucharistic Congress be a success. And I really trust that we will have some support and solidarity.
Inviting believers from home and abroad, Archbishop Dermot Martin of the Archdiocese of Dublin describes what we can expect from the capital city.
Greetings from Ireland and from the bishops of Ireland. I'm very pleased to have this opportunity to say a few words about the 50th International Eucharistic Congress, which will be held next year in Dublin from the 10th to the 17th of June. The Church in Ireland has undergone difficult times in these years. There's urgent need for renewal in the Church. But already the preparation for the Eucharistic Congress in our parishes and communities around the country is taking shape as part of that process of renewal. The letter of Pope Benedict to the Catholics of Ireland has given us also some indications of the direction we should be going in revitalising Church life in Ireland. My hope is that, and my hope with the other Irish bishops, is that the Eucharistic Congress will be a real milestone in that path of renewal for the Irish Church. The theme of the Congress is the Eucharist, communion with Christ and with each other. It shows that renewal in the Church of Jesus Christ begins with Eucharistic renewal, but that Eucharistic renewal also will help to build up that wider sense of communion which the Church will witness to in the society and in the changing, very secularised culture of Ireland. We have a very good programme ready for the Congress. Almost all the international speakers we've invited to come have responded enthusiastically. There's growing interest in Ireland itself about the Congress. Registration is well underway. And there's an interest, particularly among young people. We hope to have a youth space, which will be an essential part of the Congress, so that we can reach out to the young people of the future of Ireland. The Irish Church looks in a special way to churches around the world to come or to send representatives to encourage and sustain us in our task of renewal, to sustain all the Catholics of Ireland at a time when it's natural that the insecurity they've gone through has created fear and anxiety. For that, I thank you in advance, and God bless.
I've been north and I've been south and I've been east and west. I've been just a rolling stone. Yet there's one place on this earth I've always liked the best. Just a little town I call my own. But Dublin can be heaven with coffee at 11 and a stroll in Stephen's Green.
Father Kevin Doran, Secretary General of the Organising Committee, was in Rome recently for a series of preparatory meetings and dropped by the radio to share the latest details with us about the programme, locations and personalities taking part in the Congress from June 10th to 17th next. I can see people like Bishop Bashar Warda of Erbil in Iraq. We also have taking part in a liturgical celebration, Metropolitan Hilarion from the Russian Orthodox Church, Brother Alois. I mean, if I'm sitting at home and I'm thinking, oh, that sounds interesting, maybe I'd like to take part in it. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me what a typical day, if there is a typical day, at the Congress is like?
Yes, a typical day will start with morning prayer. I think it's at 9:30 in the morning. And then after that, there will be workshops, two sessions of workshops before lunch. So each workshop would be about an hour and a quarter. And in each workshop session, we have 13 rooms. Some of them are small rooms, 30 or 40 people, and some of them are large spaces that can contain up to 1,000 people.
Can you talk to us perhaps about some of the themes that will be taking part in those workshops? What will they be focusing on?
Well, each day the theme of the workshops will be related to the theme of the day itself, and these are broadly sacramental themes. So, for instance, on Monday it's baptism, Tuesday it's marriage and family, Wednesday priesthood, Thursday reconciliation, Friday healing, and then Saturday the Word and Mary. In many ways, you could say, if you were trying to embark on a project of renewal in the church anywhere, these would be the key events that are the key elements that you would want to be working with. And so, for instance, on the day for marriage, which is the Tuesday, our National Marriage Advisory Body, Accord, will be conducting a round table discussion involving couples about the sacrament of marriage. We will also have somebody coming to facilitate music, religious music with parents and young children. On the Wednesday, there are a number of workshops on the theme of vocation. For instance, Cardinal Van Troyes of Paris will be giving one on the formation of candidates for the priesthood. Sister Bernadette Flanagan will be doing something on monasteries without walls, the whole notion of religious life in a contemporary setting. So on Thursday, the focus is on reconciliation. And one of the people we have speaking on that occasion is Professor Robert Enright, who teaches in the University of Wisconsin in the United States. And he's done a lot of work with inner city communities, both in the United States and in Belfast, on the whole thing of learning forgiveness. Because he would say that really the skill of forgiving is something that we have to learn. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that forgiving is about forgetting. And of course, the reality is that most of the time when we're challenged to forgive, it's because we still remember.
Let's locate all of this in the Archdiocese of Dublin, in Dublin, the capital of Ireland, but in a very unusual place. It's going to be in the RDS. What's that?
Yeah, the RDS, or Royal Dublin Society, is a venue which dates back about 250 years and was originally set up with the view to promoting the development of agriculture and science and history. Has a royal charter, actually, interestingly enough. But in more recent years, a lot of people would associate it with the International Horse Show, which takes place every year in Dublin. So there are quite a number of buildings with the possibility of hosting exhibitions and various other events. And then in the middle of all that, there is a stadium that holds around 25,000 people, which is where the open-air mass will take place each day.
Which, and also the opening mass for the entire Congress.
Yes.
Which will launch. Now, of course, the RDS is in the south of Dublin. It's south of the River Liffey, which divides the capital
That's
city.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Very leafy suburb, a very pretty suburb
yeah.
of Dublin. But there will also be, besides the workshops that are taking place in the RDS each morning and, of course, the lectures each afternoon, there are also going to be things taking place in around the city to involve people who aren't directly in the registered within the Congress.
That's right. I think we have this sense that the Congress has to make an impact on the city. And we want the pilgrims as well to be able to see, to engage with the people of the city. So what we've asked is that 20 churches would make themselves available for the week of the Congress as what we're calling host churches. And they will do a number of things. First of all of them will host a Mass in a particular language on the Monday morning of the Congress, which is our ecumenical day. And the main liturgy that day in the afternoon is an ecumenical liturgy. But in the morning, so we'll have Mass in Portuguese, in French, in Polish, in Slovakian and so on, in all these different churches. But then during the week also, we will have some of the churches offering prayer ministry. So, for instance, in one church we'll have the Emmanuel Community. In another church we're going to have the Family Rosary International with an exhibition. In another church we'll have Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament for parents with young children, and so on. And then there's a vocations church. That's the Newman University Church in Stephen's Green.
But we'll have to explain to our listeners why it's called the Newman University Church.
Well, Cardinal Newman, who of course was beatified last year by Pope Benedict, was the founder of a thing called the Catholic University of Ireland, which predated the National University. And it was always his dream that there would be a Catholic university in Dublin. He didn't quite succeed in the sense that the Catholic university was surpassed by the present National University, but the University Church on St. Stephen's Green and some of the other buildings there are still the reminder of the work that he did in building up university education in Ireland.
One of the many legacies of this great figure of the church.
A Dublin can be heaven with coffee at 11 and a stroll in Stephen's Green.
As the song goes, Dublin can be pretty. Then to visit a city like Dublin in June, even though the weather might can't be a guarantee in Ireland.
That's right.
Congress in the city, as you said, bringing the Congress out of the confines of the Royal Dublin Society and to Dublin City. There is a need, of course. You spoke beforehand about renewal.
Yes.
Part of the renewal of the church. There's also, to an extent, the need to renew the church within the city of Dublin and then hopefully from there emanating into our wider Irish society. How have the people of Dublin been reacting so far to this Congress?
Well, I think possibly like a lot of people, especially in southern Europe, people in Ireland are inclined to sort of leave things a little bit to the last minute. And so even last year, people were saying, oh, that's next year. And I suppose we've been struggling to try to get people to see the Congress as a journey rather than just an event. And in some of the parishes, some wonderful work has been done with our pastoral preparation programme in unpacking different elements of the Eucharist. But obviously still, for a lot of people, you know, the Congress is coming up in June. And what we're really trying to say to people is, you know, please see this as a journey of growth and renewal, because if there isn't good preparation for something, there's often very little follow through on it as well, and it just becomes a flash in the pan.
But is there a little element of excitement starting to brew in the city, or at least among the people who have been involved for so long and are so dedicated to the preparation for this?
Oh yeah,
Congress?
Absolutely. I mean, even judging by the phone calls we get from people in the office and all the questions people have to ask, there are a lot of people out there who are passionately interested in the Congress, and you know, they're making the assumption that they're going to be there. They just haven't quite got around to registering yet. And like a lot of people, I suppose, it's interesting the number of people who still have a reluctance to actually book their places at the Congress online, even though the same people book airline tickets all the time online. But it's just a kind of, they don't associate that with church. I think one of the things that's actually interesting about the Congress is we're presenting in some ways a face of church which is modern, which is about using all the modern means of communication, which is colourful, which is thinking outside the box. And, you know, for instance, we have a whole programme on inclusivity and justice in parishes. We have a science track. We have probably 800 people from the deaf community coming, and there will be 6 workshops which will be signed for the deaf. And there are a lot of things that people, you know, don't maybe think of as being associated with church, but it's best practice in so many different areas, you know.
The best thing perhaps about these congresses is that you're opening out the churches and you're taking the celebration of the faith onto the streets of any city where these congresses are held. Yep. In this case, you're taking the celebration of the faith onto the streets of Dublin, the capital of Ireland, where in recent years it hasn't been very easy to be public about your faith, and maybe perhaps many Catholics haven't been very confident in their faith.
Yeah.
Is this also seen as a chance for Catholics, without being triumphalistic, but once again to stand together and realise the importance of praying within society as a part of society?
Yeah, it's interesting. If I go back a few years to when I worked in the European Vocation Service, one of the things that brought me into contact with a lot of priests and religious from Eastern Europe, and one of the things that they told me quite often was that it was only after the fall of communism in Eastern Europe that people began to gradually realise actually how many of them there were. You know, there were priests and religious being discovered that nobody knew existed, because they could only actually function, if you like, beneath the radar. And in some ways, while the situation is certainly not as dramatic as that in Ireland, I suppose the last 10 or so years have been years when, you know, there has been a loss of confidence. And while there would be a lot of people who still believe in Jesus Christ, and a lot of people who, you know, deeply value, say, the ministry of the church, it was never, I suppose, in the last 10 years, politically correct to say that out loud. And I think the Congress, to some extent, as you say, it's not about trying to, you know, rediscover the past or to go back to the way we were, but it's about trying to work out what is the space for the church, and what will be the ministry of the church to evangelise and promote the gospel and to call people to follow Christ in, you know, in
the
Ireland of today and the next century. Yeah.
And if you don't believe me, come and meet me there.
So far, organisers have received bookings from over 33 different countries to attend the Congress in Dublin, but registration is essential and time is running out. So any groups or individual pilgrims that may be interested in visiting Ireland this June and attending the Congress are asked to register online by visiting the website www.iec2012.ie. So go on, answer Ireland's call and come to Dublin this June. I'm Emma McCarthy.
Gold dust in her hair, and if you don't believe me, come and meet me there in Dublin on a sunny summer morning.